إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you. We continue reading from الملخص الفقهي of our noble Sheikh العلامة الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. باب في زكاة عروض التجارة. We're still in a section of zakat. A chapter tonight is about the trade goods, the trades and the goods. Qala Sheikh, and also we're going to divide this on six points in this class. Some of them may be long. As for the first point, yaqulu Sheikh hafidhahullah, al-urudu jam'u 'ard bi iskani ar-ra', وهو ما أعد لبيع وشراء لأجل الربح. هذا هو العرض، وهو ما أعد لبيع وشراء لأجل الربح. سمي بذلك لأنه يعرض ليباع ويشترى، أو لأنه يعرض ثم يزول. In the first point, the Sheikh began by saying, he gave us a definition, what is a trade good mean? The trade goods refer to anything allocated for trading purposes with the aim of making profits. Anything that is prepared, merchandise and things that is prepared for the people to buy it or to sell it, to make a profit. And it was named Ard because it is put out there in front of the people. It was put out there in front of the people. People, they come and look at it and they ask how much it is, and then we all know those transactions. The point number two, وَالدَّلِيلُ عَلَى وُجُوبِ الزَّكَاةِ فِي عُرُودِ التِّجَارَةِ قوله تعالى في سورة التوبة خذ من أموالهم صدقة تطهرهم وتزكيهم بها، وقوله تعالى في سورة المعارج والذين في أموالهم حق معلوم للسائل والمحروم. قال الشيخ حفظه الله وعروض التجارة هي أغلب الأموال، فكانت أولى بدخولها في عموم الآيات. In a point number two, zakat on trade goods is obligatory according to the Quran, the Sunnah, and the consensus. Or actually, the Shaykh, he mentioned the dalil, the proof from the Quran that zakat on the trade goods is an obligation. He mentioned first the ayah 103 of Surah At-Tawbah. Allah addressing the Prophet ﷺ, take from their wealth a charity by which you purify them and cause them increase. And also the Shaykh, he mentioned the ayat 24 and 25 of Surah Al-Ma'arij, and those within whose wealth is known right for the petitioner and the deprived. Then the Shaykh Salih Hafidhahullah, he says, the major part of trade goods constitutes the majority of assets or property. constitutes the majority of assets or property, and that is why they are implied with the greater reason in the general meanings of the verses related thereof. So then that is why they are implied with greater reason in the general meanings of the verses related thereof. They are included in the general meaning of the ayahs that shows the obligation of paying zakat. وروى أبو داود عن سمرة كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمرنا أن نخرج الزكاة مما نعده للبيع مما نعده للبيع رواه أبو داود في الزكاة. قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله ولأنها أموال نامية فوجبت فيها الزكاة كبهائمة الأنعام السائمة. Also it is related by Abu Dawood on the authority of Samura, on the authority of Samura رضي الله عنه, who said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to order us to pay zakat on what we prepare for trade. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to order us to pay zakat on what we prepare for trade. And this is very important for the Muslims to know. If somebody wants to engage in tijara, they have to learn these rulings and regulations. It's not just go there and open a business and grocery store or clothing store or cars or parts or anything, and then a person should know these rulings and regulations so that they have to pay the zakat according to what's legislated. Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan, hafidahullah ta'ala, says, in general, because trade goods are growing money, and remember we read this before, that's why the zakat is implied, because these are from those wealth that grows. And likewise, in general, trade goods are growing money. That's why people open businesses and open stores and grocery stores to make money. They don't invest with the intention to lose money. So usually these are businesses, person start a business because they want to make money. They want to grow their capital. So he said, in general, because trade goods are growing money, therefore they entail paying zakat just as grazing livestock. Remember, this is a rule that we learned in the chapter of the zakat on livestock. When someone have camels or have cows or sheep, he don't just have them there and keep them somewhere until they all die. No, he have them there and take care of them, and they reproduce and they get bigger, you see? They grow. Amen. ثم قال الشيخ حفظه الله وقد حكى غير واحد إجماع أهل العلم على أن في العروض التي يراد بها التجارة الزكاة إذا حال عليها الحول. Likewise, the Sheikh says, furthermore, there is more than one narration on the consensus of Muslim scholars. When we say narration, meaning from the ulama. Some of the ulama, they mention in their books that the scholars, they have consensus, the Muslim scholars, on the obligation of paying zakat by any Muslim who possesses trade goods for a whole lunar year, a hijri year. Even though here they choose this term narration, but usually for us narration, when we hear this narration, meaning the narration of the Prophet ﷺ, but this is a narration of anyone, someone who brought this statement in his books or his statements. So Maqala Sheikh, we're still in point number two, by the way. You can, this point, you can say number A, B, or something like that, but we're still in this long point number two. Qala Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. And I'm going to read to you this paragraph, all of it in Arabic, and then read to you the translation, inshallah. قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله الأئمة الأربعة وسائر الأمة إلا من شذ أي من خالف ما اتفقوا عليه متفقون على وجوبها أي الزكاة في عروض التجارة سواء كان التاجر مقيما أو مسافرا وسواء كان متربصا وهو الذي يشتري التجارة وقت رخصها ويدخرها إلى وقت ارتفاع السعر أو مديرا كالتجار الذين في الحوانيت سواء كانت التجارة بزا من جديد أو لبيس أو طعاما من قوت أو فاكهة أو أدم أو غير ذلك أو كانت آنية كالفخار ونحوه أو حيوانا من رقيق أو خيل أو بغال أو حمير أو غنم معلفة أو غير ذلك فالتجارات هي أغلب أموال أهل الأمصار الباطنة كما أن الحيوانات الماشية هي أغلب أموال الأموال الظاهرة انتهى كلام شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله من فتاويه الجزء 25 دير النوبل شيخ علمها شيخ صالح الفوزان حوى تعالى In this regard he mentioned also the statement of one of the statements of the ulama one of the great scholars of al-Islam Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala who said in his fatawa volume 25 from the page 15 to 45 when he was talking about this point he said rahimahullah now Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said the four imams And when they say the four imams, they refer to Abu Hanifa, Malik, al-Shafi'i, and Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahumullah. And once again, this doesn't mean that the deen is taken from these four imams only. No, there is a great a'imma. Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim in the first place, and the tabi'un, atba'a tabi'un. But just this a'imma, their madhab, was famous. And known. There were some other madahim, like Madhab of Sufyan al-Thawri and others. They were very famous and strong. But then after years and the time go by, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his hikmah, this is how the madahib that was that are famous and for some time until our time. And also this doesn't mean that when you hear the a'imma and the ulama, they say the madhahib arba'ah, this doesn't mean that a person choose one madhab and give his allegiance to one imam like the mubtadi'ah and the juhal they do. There is some juhal, especially the ahnaf and the malikis, they say they're Hanafis and that's it. You bring them a statement of Imam Malik, according to the sunnah, they reject it. And this is ignorance. وَهَذَا خَطَأ It's a big mistake. Person should not reject the haq. When you accept the statement of this imam or the other, it's not because of his name or his country. It's because the haq. If this a'imma, these four imams, if any one of them said something that is not right, that opposes the truth, we don't take it from them. And we respect them for who they are, for their makana. But it is not appropriate for anyone to believe that it is obligatory upon you to choose one madhab and that's all you have to do and you never go out beyond that madhab like some juhal do. They say they follow Maliki madhab. And then we tell them, Imam Ahmed said, they're like, hey, excuse me, we Malikis, no. You Hanbalis, that's you Shafi'is, that's your problem. But you tell them, ya akhi, it's not about Hanbali, it's about what this man is saying. He's bringing the truth from the Quran and the Sunnah. So we should not be on this way, stuck, like those who are stuck, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take them out of that. And we're supposed to adhere to the truth that is in the deen of Allah, that is in the Quran and the Sunnah, with that which the Salaf al-Ummah they were upon. As for this madhahib, they help us to understand the religion. Okay? That's why Sheikh Sulaiman, Mashaykh, many ulama, but most recently I heard our noble Sheikh Al-Allama, Dr. Sulaiman Al-Ruhayli. Okay? And he was, when he was making clarity and clear, make this matter clear, that it's not from our manhaj to adhere to one madhab and that's it. And you love those who are the madhab, doesn't matter what they do, and you hate the other people who are not on your madhab. Now this is not from our deen. He said, and this is from the ways of the ignorant people and the muta'assibun, who don't understand, who don't have sound knowledge of the deen. He said, that's why you find anyone who is upon Hanafi madhab, he don't have nothing to do with the other madhahib. If the one who is a Shafi'i madhab, he denies all the other madhahib. He says, only Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they take from all of the madhahib as long as it is the haqq. As long as it is the haqq. If it's the haqq with Abu Hanifa, they take it. If the haqq is with Imam Malik, they take it. If the haqq is in the madhab Imam Shafi'i, they take it. Likewise. But if Imam Malik was wrong, they says he was wrong. They don't say, well, he was wrong, but he's our Imam, we're going to follow him. No, we are ordered to follow the haqq. Tayyib? And maybe I shared with you how this muta'assiba, people who go too extreme to this, too extreme, that one Imam, he was performing a nikah, and he was a Hanafi, this Imam of that masjid, he was a Hanafi. You know, and when he was performing this nikah, he said to the young man who was about to marry, he says, okay, say I agree to marry this woman upon the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa. The young man has understanding. He says, I agree to marry this woman. He says, the Imam says, say upon the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa. He says, no, I don't have to say that. I marry her upon the book of Allah and Sunnah, what Allah has stated. He said, say upon Imam Madhab Abu Hanifa. He said, why don't say that? He said, if you don't say it, your marriage is not valid. You see? Look at the jahl. He said, if you don't say upon the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa, your marriage is not valid. If somebody else don't know, you say, what? My marriage is not valid? All right, Imam Abu Hanifa, so let it be. Now this man have understanding. He said to the Imam, is that right? He says, yes. Not performing his nikah until you... He said, can I ask you a question? He says, yes. He says, what made the nikah of the father of Abu Hanifa valid? Is it? Huh? He says, Abu Hanifa's father was married, right? Yes. What made his nikah valid? Because his son wasn't even born. Did he also says, I'm making this man, marrying this woman, who she gonna be, inshallah, the mother upon madhab Abu Hanifa? He said, جهل أي نعم. طيب. So it's very important for us to understand this point. So here he says, when he says the four imams, it doesn't mean that knowledge is limited to this imma four. No. Alhamdulillah, there is great imma, we respect them and we learn from them. But if the knowledge comes to us from other than them, we don't say, oh, wait a minute, he has to be one of the four imams. No. We take the haqq whenever he comes from, alhamdulillah, as long as he is the haqq. Naam. So here Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah rahmatullah, he says the four imams together with the entire body of Muslim scholars, except few individuals who they have other opinion, except for a few who have other opinion, all of them have unanimous agreement that it is obligatory to give zakat on trade goods. So the Sheikh is telling you, bringing your statement, Sheikh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah, just in case somebody may tell you, akhi, there is one scholar or two I know, he says, no zakat. So now you know that one or two from those minority, that their opinion doesn't matter because they went against what agreed upon the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the four imams. Okay? So this what help you. You don't just like, oh yeah, one of the ulama, he said that? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. No, you tell him, I know that. Okay, so yes, but these are from Shaykh al-Islam says there's people who they went against the agreement of the ulama of Ahl al-Sunnah, including the four imams, just in case if he may be one of the madahib, including the four imams. So they have agreement, total agreement, that is obligatory to give zakat on trade goods. This ruling, still Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahu ta'ala saying, I will tell you when his statement is finished. He said, this ruling applies to any merchant. Any merchant. And regard any merchant, doesn't have to be from this country or the other. Or any color or any, okay? He said, any merchant, whether resident or traveling. A monopolist merchant, which is, he's the one who buys trade goods at times of price fall and sell them when prices are high. Some people, they wait when, you know, when the price is like down, he buy a lot and he waits until they go high and the like. Or a shopkeeper. It also applies to any type of goods such as clothes, brand new or second hand. You see, it's not just brand new. Even those who have they have second hand clothing. Okay, we call them these days what? Thrift stores? Thrift stores and used clothing. Tayyib. Also food, example grains, fruit and any edible matter. Utensils such as pottery and the like, or any type of animals, including horses, mules, donkeys, sheep, etc. Okay? So he said, generally, while merchandise represents the majority of people's non-observable properties, cattle represent the majority of their observable properties. Okay? But this, the zakat is applicable on anyone who has merchandise and anything that is out there for sale. And a person should ask questions. Anyone who's about to start a business or he's selling or buying anything, that person should ask questions. Is this make me fit in this category? It's not just like making money, but you have to pay zakat too. At least you have to ask this question, am I from those people who pay zakat? Alright? Tayyib. That was the end of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. ثم قال الشيخ, and this is point number 3 right now. Point number 3 started at this point. قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى ويشترط لوجوب الزكاة في عروض التجارة شروط. Said, however, zakat on trade goods becomes obligatory only under the following four conditions. Under these conditions, and the Shaykh mentioned four of them. Okay, أولا, still in the third point. أولا, يعني الشرط الأول أن يملكها بفعله كالبيع وقبول الهبة والوصية والإجارة وغير ذلك من وجوه المكاسب. The first of this fourth condition, the owner has acquired this property by doing some act such as transactions, okay, or gifting, bequeathing, renting, or other means of acquisition. Okay, so it's very important. As you see, there is details. It's not just only whoever bought some merchandise. So there is some details. Inam. Number two, الشرط الثاني, أن يملكها بنية التجارة بأن يقصد التكسب بها لأن الأعمال بالنيات والتجارة عمل فوجب اقتران النية به كسائر الأعمال. The second condition, that the owner of that trade goods intends to use trade goods for trade and profit. For trade and profit. Since the correctness and rewards of deeds depend upon intentions. So trade, like any other act, is to be associated by an intention. So he bought things, or he acquired things, and he received things, he was given certain things, but now the intention is to sell those things and to make some money. الشرط الثالث, the third condition, أن تبلغ قيمتها نصابا من أحد النقدين. تبلغ قيمة هذه العروض النصاب. والنصاب, نصاب هذه عروض التجارة هو نصاب أحد النقدين, يعني الذهب أو الفضة. That the value of trade goods that it is obligatory to pay the zakat for must reach the nisab evaluated in gold or silver. What is the nisab of gold? 85 grams. And what is the nisab of fidda, silver? 595 grams. So if the person have any trades, goods, that's the value of them equal the value whether of 85 grams of gold or 595 of silver, and up, then this person pay the zakat. But if a person, he's selling some incense, for example, or some socks and some t-shirts, or he's selling some pants, or selling some books, but then the value, he just started, he has a little bit, you know. Like sometimes people selling oils, you know, amongst the Muslims, or somebody selling water, for example. On a hot day, he's selling water. He has like a couple boxes of water or something, or he's selling popcorns, or he's selling ice cream in a hot day. This person now, he looks at the value of what he's selling. If it's equal to the value of the nisab of gold or silver, an app or greater, that's he has to pay zakat, okay? Well, not that day, because you got to look at the fourth condition, inshallah, okay? You got to take these conditions together. Tayyib, الشرط is الرابع, تمام الحول عليها, لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا زكاة في مال حتى يحول عليه الحول. لا زكاة في مال حتى يحول عليه الحول. لكن لو اشترى عرضا بنصاب من النقود أو بعروض تبلغ قيمتها نصابا بنى على حول ما اشتراها به. The fourth condition, he says that in lunar year, meaning a Hijri year, not the Gregorian, Gregorian, right? Not the Gregorian one, December and this, all right? No, this is the lunar one, like the Hijri year. That's what is counted. So the Hijri year, 1 year must lapse upon the nisab. Upon the nisab, when his trade that he has, the trade goods, reached the nisab or up or higher, now 1 year has to lapse. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says, no zakat is due upon property until 1 year has passed, a Hijri year, okay? However, the Shaykh, he says, Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, he says, however, he gives some clarification now as related to this. He says, if the owner buys trade goods against a monetary currency equal to the nisab, or buys them for other trade goods equal to the nisab, the year of the goods possession is to be counted with regard to the property he bought the trade goods with. Alright? I repeat. He said, if the owner buys trade goods against a monetary currency equal to the nisab, which is once again the nisab of gold or silver in here, or buys them, those trade goods, he buys them for other trade goods equal to the nisab, the year of the goods possession is to be counted with regard to the property he bought the trade goods with. Alright. طيب ثم قال الشيخ حفظه الله في النقطة الرابعة, and this is pertaining this here of the the estimation of zakat on trade goods, okay? How you pay the zakat on these trade goods, okay? Person have grocery stores, person have clothing store, this person have, he sells auto parts, this stuff, he's onto the, what do you call it, like paint and all that stuff. Drug store too. What is the other store, like Home Depot and stuff?
Hardware store,
and any other, pharmacy, and all right. طيب, how this person paid his zakat? Okay. قال وكيفية إخراج زكاة العروض أنها تقوم عند تمام الحول بأحد النقدين الذهب أو الفضة ويراعى في ذلك الأحظ للفقراء فإذا قومت وبلغت قيمتها نصابا بأحد النقدين أخرج ربع العشر من قيمتها ولا يعتبر ما اشتريت به ولا يعتبر ما اشتريت به. This is very important to highlight. ولا يعتبر ما اشتريت به يعني ثمن الشراء بل يعتبر ما تساوى عند تمام الحول ما تساوي عند تمام الحول لأنه هو عين العدل بالنسبة للتاجر وبالنسبة لأهل الزكاة. Now, if somebody have a grocery store, clothing department, auto parts, this, that, he sells, So this person, how he pay his zakat? Now he knows, mashallah, if whatever he has equals the nisab or more. So how he pay the zakat? How he do this? The Sheikh says, zakat on trade goods is to be appraised at the completion of the lunar year. At the completion of the lunar year, when the value of one's trade goods amounts to the nisab, by either gold or silver. Okay? So it's not like somebody just opened a grocery store, 2 months later he paid his zakat. No, has 1 year go by. When appraising the value of the nisab, it should be appraised according to the value that will be more useful to the poor. So the person, he will look at both the value of gold and silver, he will see what's good for the poor, not what's how much he's going to make of it, you see? Then 2.5% of the value is to be paid as the zakat, from the value of the merchandise he has. Okay, when he add everything he has, he come up, for example, $150,000, $50,000, $350,000, 7.5 million, 1.65 billion, I don't know, all right? And that's equal or more than the nisab, then he paid 2.5% of that amount. Okay? Is it clear? Al-Rabi'ah, kulna mazalna fi al-Rabi'ah, idha intahayt ana aqul lak intahayna inshallah. Tayyib, so 2.5% is of the value is to be paid, irrespective of any amount of money that has been used for buying trade goods. So, you don't take in consideration here how much you bought the merchandise. Nah. So when the person, they're like, okay, I got this. He don't value and appraise it according to the price he bought it for. The Sheikh, he says, I'm going to read to you a fatwa by Sheikh bin Baz, that he agreed with the same thing. Alright? However, what is to be taken in consideration is the value of trade goods at the completion of the year. At the completion of the year. And this is to observe justice. This is to observe justice regarding both the merchant and the recipients of zakat. So now, if someone, for example, has a grocery store or clothing department store. Alright? So he will look and go, as the Sheikh is going to say later on, you got to do this, because this is zakat. And you have to be careful, you got to count everything you have. Take your time. Even hire somebody if you cannot do it. To do the right job, you're going to count all the shelves, everything you have. On the shelves, on the stocks, even things that you have on other stacks, not in that store because you don't have enough room. Anything you count, okay, and don't miss anything. Do your best, of course. If you forget something, alhamdulillah. But you have to have this intention. You got to count everything. If somebody is working for you, you're going to tell them, count everything. Don't miss one bucket. Don't miss one pair of shoes. All right? I want you to count everything. Now, how you appraise them, the Sheikh is saying, not according to, you don't go to the, what do you call it? The receipt, what they call it? The invoice. It's not by going to the invoice of how much you bought it for. No, by its value when the year go by. You see the value, how much it is sold for. Okay? Where is this fatwa, Sheikh? Where did he find it? Inside? I hope I brought it with me. Otherwise, I still remember it. Allah. Now. This is from the book Risala fi Zakat li Shaykh bin Baz rahimahu ta'ala. I'm just going to read to you the English. The question was, should Zakat, this is one of the great ulama of our time, Shaykh Abdul Aziz bin Baz rahimahu Allah, he says, should Zakat on commerce goods be paid on the price that is bought for or sold for? The bin Baz rahimahu ta'ala, he said, Zakat on trade goods should be appraised based on the market value that is sold for. After one full Hijri year passed, whether this price, now that they come to at that moment, somebody, for example, he's selling, give me a merchandise, Hassan.
Shoes.
All right? Whether those shoes, the price now, after 1 year, the shoe in the market is $50, a pair. The Sheikh says, whether that price now equals the price paid for them, or more of it, or less. Or more or less. Because sometimes it happens, somebody may buy a merchandise, and then he may have to sell it for less, because nobody wants it, or whatever the case is. Those who have business, they know what I'm talking about. You know, they don't. Don't you think that those who have merchandise are always making money? Sometimes they go through some hardship, you know, and especially if they have a lot of expenses. May Allah have mercy on them. I have to say this, we don't have to be on the opinion or whatever that whenever you see one of us brothers have a store, like, inshallah, he got money. Yeah, he may have money. And what is the problem if he have money? We should be happy for him. There's no hasad. No, we make dua, say, may Allah grant him tawfiq and increase him in his. But sometimes, the appearances are what? Deceiving. A nice big store, and this, that brother, you might find him struggling. And actually, I was in a mechanic, Muslim brother, a mechanic, and a big mechanic shop, and big things, lot of commotions, lot of. But then he told me himself, he said, subhanAllah, he says, because I asked him, how's business? He says, alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, but. And then as we're talking, he told me, subhanAllah, I have people complaining that work for him. We need more money. He says, he swears by Allah, he says, the least paid one of this, he get more than me. He says, we're going through some hard time, he says. He says, I pay them, and the one who get paid less from my workers, and I'm the owner, he takes home more than me. SubhanAllah. But if somebody just come there and says, "Wow, this brother must be rich," you know, no, it's not always the case. But that's not our topic, is it? Our topic is that those who have business or are in this field, we say, "May Allah increase them, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them what's good for them in this life and hereafter. May Allah provide them what is halal, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from falling into any haram." Naam. وقت الأذان يا علي خذ الله يحفظك
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
As I mentioned, the Sheikh is going to mention in point 5 that we're going to leave for the next class, inshallah, with the rest of, inshallah ta'ala, of the class, of this chapter. قَلْ يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ الْإِسْتِسْقَاءُ وَالتَّدْقِيقُ وَمُحَاسَبَةُ نَفْسِهِ فِي إِخْرَاجِ زَكَاتِ الْعُرُودِ. He says, a Muslim is to pursue accuracy and scrutiny while reckoning, meaning counting the payable amount of zakat, simulating in the process the way a miser would reckon with his partner, subhanAllah. He says, when you have a business and you are counting what you have in your store or in your stores or at home, you may not even have a store. You sell from your car. No car. Whatever, you have something. You have some people, they go and rent one of those, what do you call them? A rent place. Storage. You know? Whatever the case is. The Sheikh says you have to make sure that you count every single item. Not like just look and say, well, at least just, how many cans over there? Somebody is counting. Don't count. It looks like 50 to me. No. Gotta go and do it. He says, the same way if you have a partner, not any partner, a miser one, the one who's really, man, don't want to let his partner go with a dime. You see? What do you say? He's like, I spent this. Where's the receipt? I got it home. Bring it. Go. I want to see everything. He's like, it's only $30. I don't care, even if it's 3 cents. We're partners in here, man. I want to see everything. Likewise, he says, the Sheikh, he says, you have to deal with yourself like that. So that you do what you have to do. We're going to leave this for the next time, inshallah ta'ala. At this moment, if you have anything you want me to repeat, point A or this, or you have any questions, if I can answer, inshallah. If not, I will try to do my researches and you do the same thing, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khairan, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa taslimin kathiran. Naam, Luqman.